Okay. In 1981, hands up if you weren't born in 1981. Wow. In 1981, the new leader of the Miners Union, Mr. Scargill, was being interviewed by the journalists, the press, and in the course of that enterprise, Mr. Scargill announced that he was, in fact, a Christian. Now, I don't know how sceptical the reporters were, but eventually one journalist put his hand up and asked Mr. Scargill, "Well, can you tell us more about your Christian faith?" "Well," said Arthur Scargill, "I am a Christian, but in this sense." Now, whenever anybody says that, immediately the alarm bell should be going off when somebody says, "but in this sense." "I am a Christian, but in this sense that Jesus Christ was, in fact, a socialist." Pretty confusing? Yeah, I think so. Pretty confusing, but no more confusing than most of Britain is now in the run-up to Christmas. What is the real Christmas? In my mid-20s, when I wasn't a Christian, I watched, I remember in late December, a drama about a young couple, homeless, penniless. She was pregnant and the baby was born behind the pub in the landlord's garage, and everybody is happy and so on. It was a sloppy, sentimental story that I really enjoyed. But I wasn't a believer, see. And I just liked the sentimental notion. Yo, isn't it nice now that they're updating the Christmas story? Because it wasn't the Christmas story. It was a warped, corrupted view of the Christmas story. Now, God willing, for December, I got four titles, Don't Be Scared. And today, it's Don't Be Scared Mary, Don't Be Afraid Mary. Now, why would Mary possibly need to be told don't be afraid? Why could Mary possibly be afraid? Well, number one, she meets an angel. And even in the Bible, even according to scripture, very, very few human beings have seen angels. I have a friend who was dramatically converted. He was as godless as I was. And his conversion was absolutely astonishing. And he claimed that he was in a pub, and this man came out of almost nowhere, spoke to him, gave him a beer mat, and when he turned the beer mat, it said that there was this pastor of the local church he was to contact, and then the man disappeared. This is the story my friend was telling me, and he just thought, hang on, have I dreamt this? So he went up to the barman and he said, "You know, the guy was with me." "No, you were on your own, sir." "No, I wasn't." He said, "I haven't had much to drink. You know, there was a guy there." "No, they were on your own." He said, "Hang on, am I going mad?" And then he turned the beer mat over, and of course the writing was still there. And he said that this angel led to his conversion. Now, that sounds to me, it's hard to verify. The guy is still a Christian, so something happened to him. But the point is that meeting an angel and knowing you're meeting an angel is a pretty scary thing, I would have thought. In the Bible, at least one believer meets an angel and falls flat on his face. So even the holiness of Almighty God, something of that can be perhaps shown by the messengers that he sends. So even angels can be overwhelming. So I can understand how Mary could be scared of an angel. But what about the message that Mary got from the angel? That's pretty confusing, I'd have thought. Young peasant girl there, either confusing or perhaps utterly terrifying. The responsibility on the shoulders of this young peasant girl, Mary. Mary, you're going to have a baby. Well, immediately, that is scary because she's not married. She is betrothed. It's not just a scandal now, which is a big thing in those days. And even when I was a kid, was still a scandal. Not only the scandal, but the thing is, she's betrothed. This is a legally binding situation, a solemn agreement. It's not just like being engaged and then breaking it off. This was a legally binding thing. Now, the Roman Catholic Church corrupts this and says that the message the angel gave was, "Hail Mary, full of grace." It doesn't say that. And you only got to read the New Testament to see Mary is anything but full of grace. She can't dispense grace to other people. But, oh boy, is she on the receiving end of grace. You are highly favored, Mary. God has looked down on all the people on the planet. He's chosen you. You're going to give birth to his son. The birth, apparently, was normal. But the conception was not just unusual, was it? It was totally unique. It can't happen like this. It can't happen like this. It can't happen like this. I remember one of the girls when I was teaching, lovely girl in year 10. We used to call it Form 4 in those days, year 10. A lovely girl, and then she came to school and she said to me at the end of the physics lesson, "Can I have a word with you, sir?" I said, "Yeah, I won't be able to, you know, carry on in school." I was like, "Oh, I got pregnant." I said, "All the sex education you've had." "Oh, well," he said, "he had a cold that night. I didn't think we could conceive." Right, okay. Well, you definitely can't conceive without a man, can you? Mary, you're going to be pregnant, but actually there's no man involved here. Now, we know that can't happen. Mary wasn't a trained midwife, but she wasn't thick. She knew full well, without sexual intercourse, you cannot have a child. But Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to overpower you, going to come upon you. Do you think she said, "Oh, yeah, I understand now"? Of course she didn't. How can this be? And also, by the way, Mary, you know your older cousin Elizabeth, she hasn't been able to have children for years. Well, she's already 6 months pregnant. And so she's going to have a boy 6 months before you are going to have one. And this boy is going to be the new Elijah, the new messenger. He's going to proclaim the coming of the one, the Messiah. Now, I remember in 2001, I'd been here a year, and the university down the road asked me, "Would you preach after we've shown the film The Matrix?" Hands up if you've seen The Matrix. Hands up if you understood it. I was bored to tears watching it. A, I couldn't follow it. B, I don't like these sci-fi type things anyway. But I had to endure it because I had to preach at the end of it. And fair play, loads of people came. But all I could think of to preach was where they kept saying in the film something like, "Do you think he's the one?" Or something like that. Well, here's this, Elizabeth's going to have this boy, and he's going to be the one to proclaim that the one is coming. And on top of that, Mary, you know the baby you're carrying, he's going to be the one. Elizabeth's boy is going to proclaim, you know, the one they've been promising down through the years, the Messiah, the Christ, all these prophecies. Well, actually, you're going to give birth to him? The one who'll sit on David's throne? The one who'll actually have his own kingdom? God's kingdom? How can this be? How can this be? You notice Almighty God doesn't send ideas for us to mull over, or philosophies for us to discuss or debate. He comes himself. A person. The Son of God. And Mary's answer in the end is superb. She leaves it all to God. She leaves him to sort out the chromosomes and the eggs and all that, and just says, whatever you want, thy will be done. She just trusts God. It's wonderful, man. She can't possibly understand all the ins and outs of it. We don't understand it now. With all the big, thick theology books, we still don't understand it all. And so Almighty God names the boy. Some of us this week had a nice little text that Emily and Cam have had a little baby, Coral. Nice name, isn't it? Coral. Pretty as well. Looks like Cam. And Em. No. Coral, but they, you know, I'm sure they sat on the sofa for hours, probably Cam and Em, debating what we're going to, if it's a boy, what are we going to, you know, if it's a girl. There was no debate here. Mary was told, you would call him this name, and it means something, and the name is Jesus, which basically means he's going to save. He'll be the Son of the Most High. How can this be? Because nothing is impossible with God. Do you want to say that with me? Nothing is impossible with God. First time I met Hayden, he wasn't a believer. Here he is. What a transformation. Clarice knows the transformation. Hayden used to have money hidden here, there, and everywhere. He was living umpteen double lives. What a change. Nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. Why was Mary singled out for this special privilege? No idea. It's all of grace. Why are you here this morning? Why have you heard the gospel? Why was I privileged to hear the gospel? Why? Some years ago when I was invited to a rugby reunion, and I went in, there was hundreds of people, and I was just aware, how many of these are Christians? As far as I was aware, none, just me. How many of them have ever heard the gospel? I don't know. Why me? If you're a Christian, you sit in there, you should be overwhelmed. Why you? Why have you heard? It's all of grace. We've all failed. All let ourselves down. All let others down. I read 2 weeks ago, a religious guy said, we're all broken people. Remember David Cameron? Remember him? Do you remember him? Oh, not much, okay. David Cameron, broken Britain. Well, it's no less broken today. But this religious guy said, we're all broken people, we're all hurting. And I read on, I think, yeah, unfortunately, this religious guy, he hasn't gone far enough. Yes, we're all broken, we're all hurting. But this guy has stopped short of saying, yeah, not only are we all hurting, but we all hurt others, though. We're not just victims, we hurt others. And most awful of all, we grieve God because we say, no, thank you. No thanks, we might say politely or we might say with swear words, but we say no, thank you. We grieve God. We snub our Savior all day long, Isaiah says. The Lord says, all day long I hold up my hands to people who are stubborn, like you and me. Some of you still stubborn, still won't give in. Psalm 89, one man can live and not see death. Answer, nobody. You're going to die sooner than you anticipate. So am I. Your name might be in the evening post, but where will you be? Why is Mary chosen this peasant girl? Because Almighty God is going to do something. He's going to do something. Remember taking a Christmas thing in a secondary school in West Wales. And all the, you know, they're all performing the things they've learnt, and all the governors are there, and all the parents, and all the pupils and staff or whatever. And I had about 5 minutes or so to tell the Christmas story. And just before I spoke, the deputy head read this sentimental poem about Christmas, and it ended with, and because Jesus has come, there's peace on earth, Mr. Rees. And I thought, well, how can I follow? Oh, I can't follow it without referring to the fact that she's spoken rubbish, without saying it in those words. And I just came forward and said, can I just ask, thanks for reading. Diolch am darllen. Thanks for reading. But the thing is, where is it? You just said, and because Jesus has come, where's peace? There's peace on earth. Where is it? Why is Mary chosen? Because Almighty God is going to do something. The Jews are downtrodden in their land. The juggernaut of the Roman Empire is flattening them and trampling them all the time. But the message is for the Jews, the Romans are not your biggest problem. God is. For the ordinary Afghans, the Taliban's not their biggest problem. God is. For Maisie around the corner, who's got money problems, money's not our biggest problem. God is. Or Diane around the corner who's hooked on cocaine. Drugs are not Diane's biggest problem. God is. And your biggest problem of mine is God. Almighty God. And for the poor dabs in the government, Brexit, amazingly, is not their biggest problem. God is. Proverbs 20. Who can say I'm pure and free from sin? Answer, no one. Psalm 66. If you, O Lord, were to mark my sins, mark my iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Answer, none of us. That's why he came. In the 70s, I had a hero of a physics professor, Richard Feynman, and I remember him, I had a video that he'd made for TV, and he said, you know, in our galaxy, there are about a couple of hundred billion stars. And they, meaning the Christians, they expect us to believe that he came here when there's 200 billion stars, all with more exciting planets than ours, and they expect us to believe that he came here. And of course, that is the point, isn't it? It is absolutely amazing. Why would he come here? He loves you. That's why. He loves me. But when he comes, there's a problem, isn't it? He is violently opposed to my sin. His attitude towards my sin is the problem. He hates it. He has a permanent, powerful, allergic reaction to it. He can't bear it. And I need to get rid of that to have any hope. And I can't get rid of it myself. I tried hard after my wife was converted. I tried hard to be a nice bloke. And you can improve a bit, but you can't do anything about your guilt, man. Have you heard of Lady Sarah Ferguson? Hands up if you know who she is. Not everybody, is it? Not so famous, no. She was married to Prince Andrew. She had an office in the 101st floor of the Twin Towers. And on 9/11, 11th of September 2001, she was in a taxi going to her office. There was so much traffic, she was held up. And as she was held up, the aeroplanes came and smashed into the towers. And she says, it was a wake-up call. And from now on, every day is a blessing. Lovely. But every day is a blessing from whom? No idea. She has wasted the wake-up call. Had she been in the towers that day, she'd be in hell now. She wasn't. She was wonderfully preserved. The grace of God allowed the traffic to be so bad that she didn't get there, and she was preserved. She was spared. But she's wasted her opportunity. Are you going to waste the opportunity? Why are you here today? Because God wants you here. Why does he want you here? Because he wants to speak to you about your sin. Why? Because he can take it away, and only he can. I can't. You can't. Religion can't. You can pray all day and all night. That can't take away your sin. Are you going to be like Sarah Ferguson and waste it? These are big things. Life and death, heaven and hell. Don't waste this opportunity this morning. Turn to God. I can't help you. I'm willing to answer any questions or pray with you. But in the end, you've got to go to God. You've got to call upon him. Do it. Amen. Let's sing. There is a Redeemer, and beautifully, just one. And his name is Jesus.
People like us to be not just forgiven, but change. God, you know everything.